Hi, my name is Aryeh Kaplan, and today we're going to be learning Shkalim chapter 6, Mishnahs 3 and 4. So the third Mishnah begins, V'heichan hayu mishnachavim. We had learned in the first Mishnah that they bowed 13 times at the Temple Mount, and the Mishnah wants to know, where were these spots that they were to bow, prostrate themselves? So the Mishnah says, Arba b'safon, 4 in the north, V'arba b'darom, and 4 in the south, Shalosh b'mizrach, and 3 in the east, Ushtayim b'marav, and 2 in the west. Why in those directions? Keneged shlosha asar sharim. Against or opposite the 13 gates. And Tosfos Yontif explains, because at this point at the gate, somebody would have a chance to see a little bit into the temple, into the Beis HaMikdash. And they were bowing as a certain sense of gratitude to Hashem for the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Mishnah continues to tell us the names of the gates and perhaps in some instances why gate was called that particular name. So the Mishnah continues, Sha'arim Jomim Smuchin Lamarav. So the Mishnah is going to tell us the southwestmost gate, and that's called Shar Ha'elyon. That's called the upper gate. And the reason for that is because the Beis HaMikdash was on the Temple Mount, which sloped upward, going from east to west. So therefore, the southwest gate was the highest gate. Shar Ha'delek. Then there was something called the fire gate, the kindling gate. And why was it named that? That's because there, through that gate, is where they brought the wood that was going to be going onto the altar. The next gate is Shar Bechoros. And that was named the firstborn gate because the firstborn animals that had to be brought onto the altar were brought through that gate. And the next one was called Shar Hamayim. And the Mishnah wants to know, V'lama nikra shemo Shar Hamayim? Why was it called the water gate? So the Mishnah answers, Shebo machnisin solchis shamayim shal nisuch bechag. Because they would bring through it the flask of water for the special water libation that was brought on Sukkot. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, no, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says a different idea. Bo hamayim mefachim v'asidin lihios yotin mitachas miftan habayas. That literally means that through it waters trickle and are destined to issue forth from beneath the threshold of the house. But what the Gemara explains is that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov felt that in the future era, a stream of water will issue from that area and exiting through the temple. So this is going to be something, and it's called that name now, Shar Hamayim, because in the future, during the times of the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi, in the third temple, there will actually be water going out from the Beis HaMikdash through that gate. So the Mishnah continues. Lumasan b'tzafon tzmuchen l'marav. Now we're going to do with the northwest gate. Shar Yechaniah. So Shar Yechaniah was the most northwest. Shar Karban, the offering gate. And why was it called Shar Karban? Because through that gate they would bring the kachet kachim, the holiest of offerings, which could only be slaughtered north of the altar. The next one was Shar Nashim. And why was it called Shar Nashim, the women's gate? So there's two explanations. One is that the women would enter according to Rabbi Yossi, and there they would perform the smicha, they would lean on their animals. And according to everyone else, says that the woman, even if she doesn't do smicha, is not allowed to do the smicha, she should be watching the service take place when her sacrifice is given. Because the ideal way, it's always preferable that an offering be brought in its owner's presence. The next gate was Shar Hashir. And that was the music gate. And the reason it was called that is because that's where the instruments used to help the Levium were brought in through this gate. Now the Mishnah wants to know, V'lama nikra shemo Shar Yechaniah. So we mentioned that the northwestmost gate was Shar Yechaniah. And the Mishnah, why is it called that? Shebo yatzeh Yechaniah begalusa. So the answer is that unfortunately, because that's where when King Yechaniah went out to exile, he went out through this gate. So now at this point, the Mishnah has told us about the southern gates and the northern gates. Now we're going to move on to the eastern gates. So, what was the eastern gates? The Mizrach in the east, Shar Nicanor. So it was called Nicanor's gate. Ushnei Pishpishin Hayulo, which had two wickets, sort of two small gates. Echa b'yamino v'echa b'smolo. One to its right, one to its left. These two small gates were almost within the Nicanor's gate was a humongous gate. And within it kind of were smaller doors that when they didn't want to open up these very, very huge doors, they would open up the smaller doors. And why was it called Nicanor's gate? So, because Nicanor was instrumental in helping bring these wonderful gates from Egypt. And he was part of the Gemara Yoma tells us on 38 that there was a miraculous deliverance from a storm that took place en route, and he was helpful in bringing these gates over to Yerushalayim. So therefore, these gates were called on his name. And now, moving to the west, Ushnaim Marav, Shaloha Ilham Shem. The two of the west were unnamed. And the Meiri explains they had no names because they were barely ever used. And Tovzi also pointed out that there was very little space that behind that western gate, and therefore that's one of the reasons why there was very little action going on. They did not have any names. That concludes the third Mishnah. Fourth Mishnah begins, Shosha Asar Shochanos Hai B'Mikdash. So we mentioned in the first Mishnah of this chapter that there were 13 tables. So now the fourth Mishnah reiterates that, and now is going to tell us what they're all about. So it says, Shmona Shoshayish Bebeis Hamitvachim. So there were 8 made of marble in the slaughtering area. The slaughtering area was north of the altar. Shalehen Medichen Es HaKravim. And what they would do on these 8 tables of marble, they would rinse the entrails. In other words, when they took out certain of the parts of the animal, they put them on these 8 tables, and these 8 tables that were made of marble, and there they would rinse them. Okay, so far we have explained 8 of tables. Now the Mishnah says, Ushnayim b'mara v'kevesh. And the Mishnah says there were 2 were to the west of the altar's ramp. Echad shel shayash, and of those, 1 was made out of marble. V'echad shel kesef, and 1 was made of silver. Al sheyishel shayish, on the one that's made of marble, hayanos nim es hayivarim. Upon the one that was made of marble, they would put the limbs of the offerings. Al shel kesef kli sharis, and upon the silver, they would put the utensils that they would use for the service. And just add one question here is, why was it necessary to have a marble table? Usually we have a principle that in the Beis HaMikdash is a place of riches and a place that we want to honor Hashem, therefore we always want to have the highest quality table. So why weren't both of the tables in the West made of silver? And the answer is that the karbanos had to be sort of chopped up in certain ways, and there's a tendency of silver or gold metal to get warm, and there was a fear that if while they were on the butcher's table being chopped up in the proper way, that the warmth, the heat of the metal would actually unfortunately make the meat rot. Therefore, it was necessary to have the tables made of marble. That's why the table that was of silver only held the vessels for the service and not any of the meat. Now the Mishnah tells us about some of the other tables. Ushnaim ba'ulam mibifnim al pesach habayis. So there were 2 in the antechamber near the temple doorway, Echad shel shayish ve'echad shel zahav. And there was 1 made of marble, 1 made of gold. So what's going on here? So the purpose of this, we'll see in a minute, was that they were to put the lechem aponim, bread, the bread that was constantly, consistently in the Beis HaMikdash. So on its way in, when it was first dropped off, it rested on the marble table in the antechamber. Then it was moved to the golden sanctuary table for the whole week. And then it was moved back at the end of its week to the gold table in the antechamber. And the reason, we'll see this all spelled out a little bit, but the reason was that we always want to show that we go up in sanctity and we ever go down. So that's why when the bread first showed up, we would put it on the table of marble to show that when we're moving it to the golden table, it's going up in sanctity. And then when we were done with the bread for that week and we're moving it out to be given out, we moved it to a golden table to show that sanctity, once something has moved up in sanctity, it always remains in its sanctity. So the Mishnah now spells this out. Al shal shayish notes in lechem aponim b'chinei asaso, that the marble table in the antechamber, that's where they put the lechem aponim when it was being entered, when it was first getting ready to be put onto the golden table in the temple area. Va'al shal zahav b'yitziyaso. And the gold table in the antechamber was there when they were moving the bread out, before it was divided up to the kohanim. They left it on the gold table again to show that once something was very holy and had spent a whole week on the golden table in the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't just go down, doesn't go back to a marble table, it must remain on a golden table. So even in the antechamber, they had to have a golden table. And the Mishnah reiterates the rule, Shemaylin b'kodesh v'lo maridin, that we always go up in sanctity, and then we never go down. And now we have to talk about the last table, v'echad shal zahav mibifnim, shalav lechem aponim tamid. And then the last table was the gold one, which is inside of the temple, on which the lechem aponim, the aponim bread, was there continually. It was always there. Each week they brought a new one, but they immediately bring the old bread off the gold table, moving it to the antechamber, and then bringing the new bread from the antechamber onto the gold table. That concludes the fourth Mishnah. I hope everyone has a great day.